Book of 2 Kings chapter 2. 2 Kings chapter 2. And I just appreciate the Lord in His presence that is here. 2 Kings chapter 2. And Lord, continue to help us. Amen. And when you get there, let's say amen. And just let's get in here and let's let the Lord speak to our hearts. 2 Kings chapter 2. We're going to do quite a bit of reading. And all of us know this story. Most of us do. And it says in 2 Kings chapter 2, it says, "And it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, and Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, Tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away the master from thy head today? And he said, Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto Elisha, Tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And he said, As the Lord liveth, as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were in Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Tarry, I pray thee here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. And he said, As the Lord liveth, and as my soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to the view afar off, and they too stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together, and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, Ask what I shall do for thee, but before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah and fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah and fell from him and smote the waters and said, Where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he had also had smitten the waters, they parted thither and hither and thither, and Elisha went over. Amen. You ever heard that story? I know you have. But I want to preach to you today on the test of faithfulness. The test of faithfulness. This story of Elijah and Elisha, those names are very common, and when you look the meaning up of those names, they're even very, very similar. But I want to talk to you today about Elisha and the faithfulness of Elisha to Elijah. And I want to try to, with the Lord's help today, show us in the Bible how we as believers are called to the same faithfulness that Elisha had. When we look here in the Bible, we come to this story that is so unique and so special to many of us. We know the story of Elijah and Elisha. Many of us, we've heard it for years and years. But we know the story that one day this man by the name of Elisha was out in the field working for his father. And we know that if we come to 1 Kings chapter 19, that Elisha was out there with 12 yoke of oxen, and he was simply doing probably his daily duties. And we know that Elijah was moved on by the Lord to go to Elisha, to go there and to summons him, so to speak, to call him, to follow him. And we know that in the story that Elijah went by Elisha, and there he draped his mantle over him while he was plowing there. And we know the story that Elisha pretty much here forsook all and began to follow Elijah. And we look at the story here, we can begin to trace the life of Elisha and know that Elisha was a man of faithfulness. It was something that he was somebody that was diligent. He was somebody that followed Elijah with all of his heart. And I want to talk to you today about faithfulness, because I believe every church in this world, if there's many things that are lacking in the church world, but one of the main things that probably could fix a lot of things is simply that word, faithfulness. Amen. Faithfulness, faithfulness, faithfulness. We know what faithfulness is. It is being diligent. It is being somebody that follows. And when we talk about being faithful to the house of God, it means coming when the doors are open, when you can. Amen? Nobody's asked you. I've never asked anybody in church to drag through the doors with the flu. I've never asked somebody if they got in a car wreck on the way to church. I would never say nothing to nobody for not coming. But you know within yourself, all of us do, if we're really being faithful to the Lord like we should or not. I myself have to talk to the Lord at times because I can honestly look at the Lord throughout my life. And even sometimes you get down and pray and you say, Lord, I serve You. I know I'm forgiven. I know You've done so much for me, but Lord, I need to be more faithful in doing this. Or I need to be more faithful in doing this. And we could go down a list of things, every individual, what it is we need to be more faithful about. And I've mentioned it here before, the reason faithfulness is not so popular nowadays is because anybody can do it. Anybody can be faithful. You can be in a wheelchair and be faithful. You can be sick and be faithful. You cannot even be able to speak. You maybe have language, but you can be faithful. You can be blind and you can be faithful. Faithfulness is something anybody can do. It doesn't matter how athletic you are. It doesn't matter about your looks or your stature or your wealth. None of that matters. If you, anybody here today can be faithful. Any of us can. Faithfulness is a missing jewel in the modern day church. We tend to be faithful to so many different things, and our spiritual lives end up lacking, and the kingdom of God ends up not going forward because of that word faithfulness. We have to learn to be faithful. I can be honest, even as a preacher, it's easy to be faithful to go visit. It's easy to be faithful and read and study. But am I really being faithful to the Lord as I should? Now, as an individual out in the pews, you can be faithful to your job. That's a good trait, and that's good ethics. That's good. I'm glad you got ethics there. That's good. If you can be faithful about being on time, and you can be faithful about this and this and this, there's many things you can be faithful about. But the question is, I want to propose to you tonight: are we being 100% faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ? It's easy to make time for so many things, but are we being faithful to the Lord? God looks for faithfulness. Hear me today. God looks for faithfulness even in the very small things. God looks at us and looks for faithfulness in the very, very small things. Notice, first of all, when God deals with Elijah to go get Elisha, the first thing I want you to notice about this was Elisha was being faithful already. He was out there working. He was out there being diligent. In the present text that we read to you in some different parts we could read to you, Elisha was working hard in the fields with his father's oxen when Elijah called him. When Elijah came up to Elisha's house, he didn't have to knock on the door, go in the bedroom and drag him out of bed. He didn't have to do that because Elisha was doing what he's supposed to be doing. We can look through the Bible. We can see over and over again how God looks to faithfulness when He comes to use somebody. Moses was faithfully looking after his father-in-law's sheep when he saw that burning bush. David was looking after his father's sheep and was fighting lions and bears to protect them when Samuel called to him. Amos in the Bible is a hard-working herdsman. Peter, James, John, and Andrew were hard-working fishermen. Matthew was sitting at the table working on his tax accounts. Everybody, they were faithful in what they were doing. That's what they were being faithful to what they were doing. We never see anywhere in the Old or the New Testament where God is going to smile upon or God's going to sit there and bless laziness. He's not going to bless people that are not faithful, but He tends to bless those that are faithful even the very little things. And ask yourself that question today. Are you faithful even in the little things? I have issues. I've even talked to some ministers. You ask them, you talk to some young ministers, they say they feel called to do this, they say they feel called to do that. You know, some say, I feel called to be a missionary. I feel called to go out here and preach. And you ask them, I'm saying, what are you doing right now? They say nothing. I say, please don't do that if you go preach. And please don't do that if you go on the mission field. If you want God to use you, start working with what you have. If you want God to send you, start working in the vineyard that God has you right now. Because if you do not be faithful, or if you are not faithful in the venues and the arenas that you're in right now, don't expect God to bless you with something else in the future. God's not going to get it to you unless He can get it through you. And God's not going to bless you with more if you cannot handle little. We say, sometimes we even say, God bless me. God, I want this. God, I want that. But sometimes if we're not careful, a blessing can be a curse to us. We have to make sure that we're ready. We have to make sure that we are preparing. We have to make sure we're faithful even in the small things. And the second thing we can notice here is this. And secondly, that all these men dropped everything and went as soon as God called them. We see Peter and John and Matthew and even Elisha. God calls those. And instantly they respond wholeheartedly. orderly. They don't haphazardly do it. They don't have to sit there and procrastinate for years. When God called them, they went. You know what we need again? We need men and women again to be faithful in the small things. And then we need men and women to be faithful when God calls them for them people to go. You've got to understand that. When God calls you to do something, when God begins to work in our lives, our church, or our families, when God goes to do something, we do not have, sometimes God does what you got. I know you got to understand when to go and understand when not to go. But when God calls you and says it's time to do this, be ready to do that. Be faithful even in the way that you respond to the calling of God. Now hear me, because that's not always easy to do. When God calls you to do something, sometimes you're going to be met with hostility. People are not going to see it. And I want to talk to you today about Elisha's faithfulness. Elisha's call was followed by a series of very real testings, which may be well designated, and we could understand this, why they happened. But these testings, hear me today, were many, and the very first test that Elisha faced in his calling was this, or in his life, the testing of his faith and the testing of his faithfulness. First thing that was tested was the testing of his affections. We notice that Elisha here was a person, it cost him something to break away from his loved ones, but he did not give up. He did not shrink away from the sacrifice in which God demanded of him. When Elijah came to him and he cast that mantle upon him and told him to come, he called him. We understand that instantly. We understand that Elisha went and began to follow him. Understand this. We must look at this in context, because when Elijah came to Elisha in the Bible, we must understand. We can understand the life of Elisha most likely, as you begin to study, Elisha was the son of a very well-to-do farmer. When we read about 12 yoke of oxen, that was nothing a poor family had. 12 yoke of oxen was enough oxen. It meant that you had some money. It meant you had some status. It meant that your family had a decent farm at that time. So when we look at the life of Elisha, we understand this, that his dad was a well-to-do farmer, was a wealthy farmer. He was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him. The call of Elisha meant giving up his future inheritance and forsaking all for the gospel. He didn't sit there. I don't believe when Elisha was called by Elijah, I don't believe he had to sit there for 45 minutes and tried to work it all out. He said that he began to follow Elijah. He did not worry about his inheritance. He did not look at the future farm and say, man, I'm going to build my barns bigger. He did not worry about that. He knew that God had called him. He knew what he felt in his heart. He did not worry about the inheritance that he was about to lose. He did not worry about future security, but he was somebody that was faithful to the call. And so first and foremost, he had to show power. The very first test, he had to show power over his affections for his future. You know what happens to a lot of people in the church world? I do believe with all of my heart God wants to do more. I believe with all of my heart in this very congregation, God wants some of us to be preachers or maybe be testimonies or go out and do this and do that and do this. But a lot of times when God calls us, or when God wants us to do something, we get our eyes so much on the future that we begin to worry and say, well, I've got these 12 oxen here. Who's going to feed these oxen? And Dad, he's not the best off right now. And old farm, or the old Elisha farm's going to go down the drain. And what about my inheritance and all this? When the call came to Elisha, he didn't worry about the future. He didn't try to put it together with a calculator. He knew what he felt in his heart. And there he began to be faithful to the call of God, even over his very future. There's times you read the Bible. There's times God will ask you to forsake houses and land. Amen? You say, Brother Dex, I've never heard that call. You've not listened. I'm not saying everybody has to give up the house. And I'm not saying everybody has to give up the yard. And I'm not saying that's everybody. But I do believe when there's a congregation of 100 people, there's going to be a few people in there God's going to call. I do believe that. I was in a church one time, 7 ministers there, and I thought to myself, my Lord, 7 ministers on the same pew, and look, that's all right for a season, but if all 7 of them are called, somebody's going to do something somewhere. Amen. How can you tell somebody's called to preach or not? Well, you can tell if they preach or not. Amen. I had somebody say, I don't know if he's called. I said, you ain't got to weed it out. It'll show in a few years. You can tell when it's a calling or not. Because when it's a calling, it doesn't matter where God tells you to go, you'll go. It doesn't matter how, it's a deep down gnawing cry inside of you. It doesn't matter what anybody says. Sometimes family will fight against you. Sometimes people will tell you, I don't know about that, I don't know about this. But you know down inside of you, it doesn't matter what they think. You know it matters what the call of God on your life is. Hear me today, friend. When God calls us or calls you as an individual, do not worry so much about the future, but say, Lord, here am I, send me. Boy, this world wouldn't know what to do with just... You know what 120 did to the world? With the here am I, send me mentality? They changed it upside down. Amen. We must understand again, we need that mentality to be faithful to God even over our very futures and even over our very inheritance. Hear me today. But the second thing we also can gather from this, that Elisha here, he loved the call of God and he was faithful to God and what God wanted him to do even over the love of his family. Hear me today, friend. The issue was plainly drawn here. Which should dominate, the zeal for Jehovah or the love for his parents? He said this after he left the oxen ran after Elijah. He said, let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and mother, and then I will follow thee. He went home, he said goodbye, and the scripture never mentions again if he went home even for a season. It does not say if he returned home again, but from then on he was faithful to the call of God. He was faithful to what God wanted him to do from here on out. And there we understand this, that before family there is God, and it doesn't matter how, what terms you put it in, God has to be greater to you than your family. We'll get into what Jesus said another time. Because he drew some fine lines. But here, we understand, you said, Brother Derek, give me a good example. Understand this. Genesis chapter 22, 21, 22, there, my mind don't serve me right there. But Abraham and Isaac, you think that Abraham would have lifted that knife up if he loved Isaac more than he loved God? He loved God more than he loved his Isaac. Understand, you've got to love God more than you love your Isaac in your life, because God is more important than family. Elisha here, when it came to doing the will of God in his life, he told Elijah, he said, let me go home and kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee. Understand that he went home. He said he killed the cows and he burnt the plow pretty much. He went and kissed Daddy goodbye. He kissed Mama goodbye. And they said, where are you going? He said, I'm following the man of God. I'm following the will of God in my life. And they said, look, what about your inheritance? You could be a very rich man. What about your career? What about this? And what about that? They weren't worried about that. He knew God called him. He knew God wanted him to do something in this world. And Elisha said, I'd rather follow after the call of God in my life than sit here and try to plow a bunch of oxen all the time and make a few rich sins are rubbed together. Think about that. We've gotten so career-minded in this world. Listen, parents, if you push career on your child when you do the will of God, you're wrong. And I'll say it from the highest rooftop, doesn't matter where, it's just a fact. If you push anything before the will of God, if you cannot train your children to accept the will of God in your life and to embrace that first, you are leading them down a path of destruction. Not saying they'll backslide, but there'll be no fruit in their life. That fulfillment that the Holy Ghost wants to bring in their life into its fruition, it will not be there. We once again need to raise our children, raise our teenagers. We need to begin to tell them, look, honey, more than anything, seek the will of God for your life. Seek the will of God for the next year. Decision. Seek the will of God for your job. Seek the will of God for your spouse. Seek the will of God for everything you do in life. Seek His will. When it comes to dating where I come from, it wasn't always the funnest thing. You know, I don't get people that just date and break up and date and break up and date and break up. And I heard one young minister say, well, my dad said, women, you know, girlfriends, you know, just like a car. You just got to see if you like the car or not. And I thought to myself, if I had a daughter, you better not call her a car, first and foremost. And you don't just sit through this life and try to figure it all out and say, well, I guess I'll go this way and try it. No, that didn't work. I'll try. No, God can lead you. If you're willing to make the effort and produce the faithfulness in your life, God will speak to you without a shadow of a doubt. I'd say it because it is a fact a million times over. It's not that God's not speaking. It's that we're not listening. God wants to speak. God wants to tell you where to go. You know, the problem is we've gotten very, very comfortable in making decisions in the flesh that turn to the Spirit of God to rescue us. But if you make the decisions in the Spirit of God will be there to elevate you, to motivate you, and to push you along. We need once again to walk with the Spirit of God. Even in the smallest of choices, you'd be surprised what can happen in our lives if we once again were led by the Spirit and we learned how to put God first over every single thing else in our life. We got to understand this. We become Americanized in so many different areas. I like the American dream to an extent, but it's still not biblical. I do like two chickens in every pot, but that's not a promise. I like two-car garage. I just got two parking spots right now. That's all right, though. And my visitors got parked a little ways down. Amen. That's all right. It's all right with me. It doesn't, as long as I'm in the will of God. If I'm in the will of God here, like I believe I am, I'm okay. God, help us all to find that contentment in each and every life. Yes, it's easy to be frustrated. Yes, it's easy for every individual here. You can find a multitude of things in this world to complain about. But with contentment will come great gain. God will bless you. God will elevate you if you're in the will of God. Now we must understand, when it came to Elisha, the very first test was over his affection, but the second test, I'm going to call the testing of his sincerity at Gilgal. You'll bow with me in 2 Kings 2 and 1. It came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee. We understand this, that we would trace this back to where Elisha looked at Elijah and said this, I will follow thee. I will follow thee. And now he is being tested because Elijah is about to be taken up in a whirlwind in a fiery chariot. And here he's pretty much right here. Elijah is looking back at Elisha and he's telling him, look, he's in Gilgal. He's telling him, look, you can stay here. The Lord's going to take me to heaven or take me up in a chariot. I'm about to depart from you. Pretty much what he was saying back to Elisha is pretty much, here's your chance. You can go back if you want to. We're in Gilgal. I'm about to leave. Won't you just go get you a nice room somewhere and get comfortable? Go home. I know you killed them 12 oxen. He won't tell him to go back. He's testing me. I know that. But he had the opportunity here, if he wanted to call it quits, to go back to join the school of the prophets, to get a decent education, and maybe get put in the pastorate somewhere. I don't know. But he had the opportunity here to sit back. But we know the story here that he decided to go on with Elijah. The Bible warns us of those who give up so easily. In 2 Timothy 4 and 10, Paul said this, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. Then Luke 9 and 62 says, and Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. When God moves in your life, when God calls you, God wants you to continue. God wants you to go forward. Even the day you get saved, it's not God's will for you to just to be there and survive. He wants you to go forward. But hear me. We have to learn to be faithful in our walk with God, to the place that we are pursuing the things that God wants us to pursue. We have to learn to be faithful in these things. When we look in the Bible, we must understand this. Gilgal in the Bible, this is the place that we're at in this time. Gilgal in the Bible represents something in history. Gilgal stands for that place where our sins are forgiven. You'll find in Joshua 5 and 9, they were in Gilgal, and the Lord said unto Joshua, this day I thee circumcised them, and this day I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you. Wherefore the name of the place is called Gilgal unto this day. Understand, this was the very first stop for the children of Israel when they got into Canaan. Before they could go forward anymore, they had to be circumcised, which is a type of separation. They had to be forgiven sins in the world, had to be stripped from them. Hear me today, Gilgal is that place where all of us must come to, where our sins are forgiven, where we come out of the world, and where we begin to pursue the things of God. That's our Gilgal. Everybody in this room today, if you ain't saved, the Lord's good, get saved. As I used to say to my cousin, he was lost every time I see him. I said, come on in, the water's fine. It's nothing like serving Jesus. There's nothing like it. But Gilgal is that place. It's that path. It's that place all of us must go where we strip the things. Not until we unsparingly mortify the flesh, separate the world, and consecrate ourselves unto the Lord, or are we prepared to go any further in the journey. Hear me today, friend. If you're not even saved, you can't go no further. You've got to come through Calvary. But if you are saved today, it's more than just being forgiven. Pick up your cross and follow Jesus. Gilgal is that place where our sins were rolled away. Gilgal is that place many Christians get this far and just stop and don't care about going any further. Our churches are full of people that's happy to be forgiven. You find them in the jailhouse. You come across them everywhere. How you doing? Are you a Christian? I'm forgiven. What are you doing for the Lord? Oh, nothing. What are you doing for Jesus? Well, I'm forgiven. How you going? I'm forgiven. Man, how long ago did you get forgiven? Well, 20 years ago. What are you doing today? Well, I'm forgiven. How about 10 years? Well, I was forgiven. Yeah, forgiven. That's good. Everybody likes a mulligan in life. That's a good thing. Everybody likes the idea of forgiveness. Everybody, man, who doesn't want forgiveness? I mean, think about it. I'm a transgressor. I'm a rebel. And God forgives me and everything's okay. That's good. That's a gift. But are you content with staying in Gilgal? Are you content with just being forgiven? Or is the voice of God calling us to a faithfulness that moves us past just being forgiven, that moves us just past being saved, and God is calling us deeper into the things of God? Notice this, that from Gilgal, the Bible tells us that they went from Gilgal, Elijah looked at Elisha and said, you can stay here. But Elisha looked back at him and said, no, I'm going with you. And then Elijah said, I'm going to Bethel. And Elisha pretty much said, I'm going to Bethel too. But hear me today, Bethel in the Bible also means something. Gilgal is the place that we are forgiven. It's that place of separation. But understand this, we got to press on to Bethel. Bethel means the house of God, which stands for fellowship with believers and the family of God. Have you noticed how quick somebody will pray, but how long it takes them to come back to church? You know what they do? They stay at Gilgal. And all they do is they can sit there and they can say, well, I got forgiven, but what are you doing now? I hadn't picked a church yet. And then slowly but surely they walk away from Christ. But understand, Bethel is that place you'll find in Genesis 28 and 19. And he called the name of that place Bethel by the name of the city that was called Luz at first. And this stone which I have set through a pillar shall be God's house. We know this is a story where Jacob met with that angel. He wrestled. He seen the ladder come down. He seen the angels come down descending and ascending. And this is the place he called the house of God. Let me ask you a question today. It's good to be forgiven, but ain't it good to be in church tonight? It's good to be in communion. Church is more than just coming and talking to each other. Church is coming corporately and gathering before the throne of God. If you don't like church, I don't know if you're a Christian. If you're forgiven, you're going to be in the house of God. If you're forgiven, you're going to be underneath this preaching. If you're forgiven, you're going to want to be somewhere where your spirit is getting fed by the Word. Hear me today. Gilgal is that place. Elisha encountered this. Elisha, when he got to Bethel, he encountered a very subtle temptation. The Bible tells us there that the son of the prophets, they came out to Elisha and they said, look, Elisha, you know your master's being taken from you today? He's going to leave you. Pretty much saying, what they were saying is this, why don't you just stay here at Bethel? Why don't you just stay at the house of God? Why don't you don't go no further? Look, you're forgiven. Look, you're now in fellowship with us. We're sons of the prophets. You know, we know you're following Elijah, but he's about to leave. Why don't you sit down and have a cup of coffee? Let's talk about what's going on in the world. That's what he wanted. They wanted him to stop. They didn't see the need for him going any further. Hear me today, which was pretty much saying, what is the need of going any further? What is the use of it when the Lord is at the point of taking it from you? Why don't you just stay here? But I want you to notice this, because every church has one or two at least. Somebody that is content being where they are, and they easily get frustrated if somebody else goes too much further. It's everywhere. And I'm not, hey, if you might not be here tonight. I thank God for that. I'm glad. I don't think nobody's here to be jealous of somebody going further. But there are in churches, I've seen this. Hear me today, friend. They ain't pretty much. I want to mark this well. Those who sought Him for Him to waver from His course, they were not agents of Jezebel or Baal or any of them. They were not prophets of the groves. But they were on the same side of the Lord. They were sons of the prophets. And hear me today, when they came to Elisha, Elisha had a holy independence. He looked at them and pretty much, I'll put it in my own words, you can sit here and debate Scripture all day if you want to. You can sit here and do nothing if you want to. I'm going to follow the man of God. I'm going to follow the call of God. It doesn't matter what you do, I'm going forward. You've got to have the same mentality. The fourth testing is this. It was the testing of Jericho. We know that Gilgal was that place of forgiveness. We know that Bethel was the type of the house of God and fellowship. But when we come here, Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth and as my soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. Elisha was confronted again here, the same place when he got to Jericho. Elisha was confronted again by the sons of the prophets. And they looked to him the same thing and said, look, you come a little bit further. But why don't you stop right here? Look here, friends. I don't mind. I hope every one of you climb higher than I climb. If you come up to me and say, look, God's really dealing with me, Brother Derek. I want to do more for Jesus. I'm not going to say, look, why don't you stay where you're at? I might get jealous. I'm going to say, look, climb on, brother and sister. Do more for Jesus. Climb on, do more for His kingdom. Hear me today. He was confronted again by the sons of the prophets. They said, well, pretty much, why don't you stay here? But he said, no, I'm going forward. Hear me today. Jericho is a type in the Bible, a picture in the Bible, a place of supernatural victories. It was that walled city when they came into Canaan. After they rode away the reproach of Egypt, they went, we know the story, they went to Jericho. It was that supernatural victory. Joshua 6:20. So the people shouted with the priests, blew with the trumpets. And it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet that the people shouted with a great shout and the walls fell down flat. So that the people went up in the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. It is that type of supernatural victory. Hear me today. It's good to be forgiven. It's good to be in the house of God and in communion. But do you have the victory tonight? It's one thing to be forgiven, but do you have the victory? It's one thing to come to church, but do you have the victory? Jericho is a type and a picture of victory. It's supernatural victory in the things of God. You know how many people come to church with strongholds in their lives? Think about it. How many people come to church and knowingly may have a stronghold somewhere in their life, but them walls will stay standing. And the devil will keep on telling. Doesn't mean you're not saved. Doesn't mean that you hadn't been to Gilgal. Doesn't mean that you're not forgiven. It doesn't mean that you hadn't been to Bethel, the house of God, and hadn't told to Jesus. It does not mean that. But do you have the victory tonight? Do you have that victory in your spirit and in your soul? Hear me today, because this is something all of us must understand. God wants us to be forgiven. God wants us to come to church and be in fellowship with Him. But God also wants to knock down the strongholds in each and every family and each and every life that's in this building tonight. Hey, Elisha, won't you stay? Won't you just stay forgiven? And won't you just stay coming to church? But Elisha looks back at them and says, no, I'm going to keep on going. And can you just imagine how good it might have felt as they walked through Gilgal and maybe their minds would remember what God did there before? As they would walk through Bethel and their mind would go to the history of Jacob. They would walk through Jericho and their mind would go to Jericho and the walls coming down. They could remember all these things. I'm going somewhere. Bear with me here tonight. But this is not the last testing of him. The next next testing tonight of Elisha is when Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee here. Stay in Jericho, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan. He said, as the Lord liveth and as our soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on, and 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view Pharaoh, and they too stood by Jordan. So he's saying, look, stay in Jericho. Elisha, stay here. And Elisha says, no, I'm going where you're going. I'm going to Jordan. Well, I'm going to Jordan. old Jordan River. We have a lot of history there. We'll get to it in a second. But he said, I'm going to Jordan with you. But the Bible tells us 50 men of the sons of the prophets went. They went too. Maybe they were inspired a little bit by Elisha. I don't know. But they went as well. Maybe they were curious to see what was going to happen to Elijah. But we know that 50 of the sons of the prophets went and they stood to view a fall and they too stood by Jordan. Isn't that something? Be careful when you get too far off, church, or anybody. When Peter got far off, he ended up denying Christ. Be careful how far from the things of God you get. When they went to Jordan, the 50 men of the sons of the prophets went. I want to show you something about these sons of the prophets. They were somebody that went to the school of the prophets that Elijah's taught and many believe. They were those who had hid knowledge, but they did not desire the supernatural. They had it in their head, but they did not have the experience. This Bible right here is more than just your memory. It's good to put it here. It needs to be here. But God don't just want you to be able to know the Bible. He wants you to be able to live it. God doesn't just want you to maybe quote a few verses, but can you experience what you quote? You know, Bibles. You know, you walk into the Goodwill, and every time I go to Goodwill, I see a bunch of them sitting back there on the shelf. Sometimes you can get them 10 cents a piece. Bibles, Bibles, Bibles. There's Bibles everywhere in America. But how many are experiencing what this Bible says? These 50 sons of the prophets went, but they stood to view afar off and they stood by Jordan. But hear me, because of Elisha's faithfulness, he went with Elijah. He went with Elijah. He said, I'm not staying here, I'm going with you. And he went with Elisha. Elijah, we know the story. Oh, Elijah took out that mantle, he folded it over, he smote the Jordan River there, and all of a sudden that sea opened wide open, and they walked through on dry ground. And if you remember, the same thing happened with Joshua and the priest and the ark years ago in the book of Joshua. So there they experienced something. They not only heard about something in the past, but they experienced it themselves. Isn't that amazing? I wonder how many times Elisha and Elijah or anybody walked past the Jordan River and said, that's the river that Joshua and them walked through on dry ground. But then how do you think it felt when the 50 sons of the prophets were standing at distance and they watched Elisha and Elijah walk through on dry ground? Like I said, they got to experience something. Not only did they hear the word, not only did they hear what happened to Joshua, but they themselves experienced that. Hear me today. And also because of Elisha's faithfulness, not only did he experience the opening of the Jordan River there, but he also witnessed up close the chariot of fire and Elijah being caught up. I'm asking you today, are you content with being forgiven? Are you content with just coming to church? Are you content with just having some supernatural victories in some places in your life? But are you somebody that wants to go on in the things of God? Are you somebody that wants to go to the Jordan River? Are you somebody that wants to see the Lord's waters opened up? Are you somebody that wants to see the chariot of fire and Elijah being taken up? Is anybody in this church tonight or anybody willing to be faithful like Elisha and witness what Elisha witnessed in his life? Brother Derek, how are we going to experience revival? Faithfulness. How are we going to see our community reached? Faithfulness. Faithfulness in prayer. Faithfulness in reading and fasting and faithfulness and following the will of God for each and every life. Not only did he witness the chariot of fire, but because of Elisha's faithfulness, he inherited a double portion. Whew, this will preach. He gave up his earthly inheritance with his father, that he can receive a double portion from God. And that's not even in my notes. It just came to me. He gave up his earthly inheritance with his earthly father. He wasn't worried about the auction. He wasn't worried about the money. He wasn't worried about the house. He wasn't worried. He killed the cow. He burned the plow. But isn't amazing? He gave up the inheritance with his father. But my Lord, he got a double in portion. He got a beautiful inheritance from heaven. And it was unlike anything this world had seen at that time. What I'm trying to get you to understand is it's worth giving anything up. It was worth quitting my job with the state. It was worth my wife quitting her job with a security company. It was worth giving up that security. It was worth giving up the money. It was worth it. Did I enjoy doing that? Yeah. Was it easy? Oh, yeah. You know how the state is. I'm kidding. There were some tough days. But I had a vehicle, you know, paid for gas. But when God says go, you go. It was worth every bit of it. Because you give up the world, the earthly inheritance, but you inherit another double portion from the Lord. Not only did He see them cross Jordan, not only did He witness the chariot of fire, not only did He inherit a double portion, but He Himself seen miracles worked in His own hands. Can you just imagine? As that mantle, I don't know how high, you know, just speculation. You're reading people, nobody knows. How high did Elijah get before he dropped the mantle? Did he get 200 feet? Maybe Elisha dropped to his knees, ripped his garment and said, "My Father, my Lord, my God, my God." And all of a sudden you see this piece of cloth flowing down. And Elijah looked over. And even though he looked up and didn't see Elijah, maybe like he thought, he looked at that mantle and he saw Elijah. Because that mantle represented everything that Elijah was. That mantle represented that anointing that was on his life. That mantle represented Elijah through and through. He was that same mantle. Maybe he felt the zeal that he felt that day. He was plowing with them oxen. And all of a sudden he felt that mantle drape across his shoulders. Maybe he felt the same chill and zeal that came over him. Maybe his mind went back to the place where he kissed mama and daddy goodbye. He remembered all of that. He said, "It was worth it. It was worth it. It was worth it. I've received an inheritance from heaven. Hear me today, friend." Because he was willing to be faithful and follow Elijah. Not only did he see the Jordan River, he picked up the mantle. He smote the waters just like Elijah. I wonder what those 50, we know they went looking for Elijah and thought, "My Lord, where'd he go? Where in the world did he go?" They didn't have a clue. But they could not deny. They just witnessed Elisha do the same thing as Elijah. The school of the prophets could only point to what God did in the past. But because of Elisha's faithfulness, he could show them what God is doing now. Hear me today, church, because this is just on my heart when studying for this. Thank God for the past. Thank God for the Word and what's happened already. Thank God for what's been accomplished here over the years. But for our present generation, let's show them what God is doing now. You've got to be able to look at this world. Parents, you've got to look at your children. And you've got to show them, look, God is still doing it now. This is a today. Look, it's easy to point back 2,000 years ago and say Jesus died. But how many are willing to point to the right hand of the Father and said He died, but He's still alive? That's what He's doing now. We must look at this because I want you to get this in your heart today. The deeper meaning of them going to Jordan is this. Very, very few, hear me today, very, very few in the church world go all the way to Jordan. Many people stop there at Gilgal, at forgiveness. Many of them stop there at Bethel. They're content with just coming to church and fellowshipping. Many of them are content with going to Jericho and having a stronghold knocked down now and then. But very, very few go all the way to Jordan. You have to be honest with us today because Jordan represents something in the Bible which stands for the identification with Christ in His death as a symbolization of His baptism. When Jesus arrived at Jordan and coming to John to be baptized in Matthew 3:13, He went to Jordan. Jordan River. It was the same river that Elijah went through. It was the same river that Joshua went through. It was the same river that Elisha went through. It was the same river. It was that river. Very, very few are willing to walk that way. How many, hear me today, friend? We have to be willing to go all the way with Jesus. We cannot stop here or there, but go all the way and be faithful. As my wife comes to the piano, we've got to be faithful. I've already said this tonight, but this is pretty much our faithful crowd. It is. You know, pastoring, you know, it don't take you a long time to figure everything out. You can tell who's faithful, and you can tell who's not. And you know, some are growing and some are being discipled. That's, I know, God's faithful. God's working. But you know, it's going to start right here. It's going to start right here. Many of us here tonight, all of us, I believe most of us, forgiven. That's good. Faithfulness to the house of God. Faithful to come to Bethel. That's good. Faithful to see a stronghold knocked down. We've seen God knock down some strongholds in these altars already. But how many are willing to go to Jordan? How many are willing to go to Jordan? If you would stand to your feet. And this is just what was on my heart today. I want to talk to us about being faithful. There's many stories I can relate to you tonight before we come to these altars. But I begin reading and studying as here recently different missionaries. But how many were faithful when God called them to do something? How faithful they were to go and do it. David Livingston, missionary to Africa, he had more doors shut on him, but he still kept going. Adoniram Judson had more doors shut on him. Hudson Taylor. But they knew that God called them to do something, and they did it. And all of us here tonight, I want you to get this in your heart. Don't stop at being forgiven. Don't stop there. Don't stop at just coming to church. Thank you for coming. Don't quit. Keep on being faithful. Because coming to the house of God, I've already mentioned, is communion. It's that corporate worship. But don't stop at just getting victory every other month. Thank God for victory. Thank God for praying through. My Lord, praying through saves you a multitude of heartaches if we just learn to pray through. But don't just stop at praying through. Go to the Jordan. Go to the Jordan. Follow Jesus. Elijah is a type of Christ in the Bible. It's another sermon for another time. But Jesus Christ, Elijah was a type of Jesus Christ. On the day of Pentecost, Jesus dropped the mantle. He sent us the same anointing that anointed Him. The same Spirit that was in Christ, He sent to us through the Holy Ghost. He's that mantle. Don't stop. Don't stop. Saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, gifts of the Spirit, let's see Him operate fluently. Fluently. The gifts are not given to scare us. Look, there's been some things over the years I've wondered myself, my Lord, that's the abuse of that. There's abuses out there. But we cannot be so afraid of the abuses that we do not let the genuine operate. But the only way they can operate, the Bible says, earnestly desire them. Seek for the gifts. Be honest, when's the last time we've done that? You don't hear that preached much. You don't hear it preached much, but I am asking you, and I'm talking from Derek Jones to you. Let's be faithful. Let's continue to follow the things of God. I'm going to open these altars tonight, come around and pray, and just ask God in your heart. Say, Lord, I'm not content with being at Gilgal. Lord, I'm not content with being at Bethel. Lord, I'm not content at being at Jericho. But Lord, I want to follow You. I want to follow You all the way. I want to inherit the things of God You want me to inherit. Talk to the Lord out of your heart tonight, church. Ask God, help us be faithful.